This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome, Place to Be Wrestling Network, to this week's episode, NWA Saturday Special. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. Let me bring in my partner. He is the Count of Monte... He's the Doc. Dr. G. George Blum. I was almost going to call you the Count of Monte Fisto, but decided not. You don't have the afro for it, so...
Nah.
No, you don't have a pop.
Maybe soon here.
So none of us have got.
I look like a freaking chia pet with this. Yeah, I can't wait to go next week.
I'm starting to look. I'm starting to look more and more like what's his name, Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover, or any movie generally. Anyway, you probably heard the open, and you heard Pantera and went, oh, "Is there something we don't know? Are they back? Are we back to normal? Are we back to normal? No, we're not. But." For just 1 week, anyway, the National Wrestling Alliance decided to give us a little sense of normalcy. Or this past Tuesday, in their usual weekly 6:05 slot, they decided to put up the episode of Superpower that was slated to kind of be the go-home Raw, if you will, for the Crockett Cup. The only piece of it that we've seen between now and then... then and now, I guess, was the Camille match and her speaking, which obviously did not happen. We'll talk about that in a minute. But this week, the NWA decided, fuck it. We're going to be doing the Crockett Cup at some point anyway. We might as well air this. So this past week, and what we will talk about tonight, is this past week's episode of Super Power that was taped, 2.5 months ago probably? And
I lost track of time. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know when. I mean, they said it was the go home, but I have a feeling this was supposed to air sometime in mid-March. I mean, I'm assuming maybe the second or third Tuesday in March, back in March, I think was supposed to be when this aired. And then the rest, and then they were supposed to do a couple weeks of builds and such, and they were going to air the roundtable show and all that kind of stuff that didn't end up happening. But for this little snapshot this week, things felt normal. So this week, the Doctor and I are going to recap this past week's Superpower. We were originally going to continue our tour of great NWA matches of the 80s. I had two great ones in mind. We'll hold off on that for the next couple of weeks because I'm pretty sure you and I are going to have something else to go over next Saturday morning. Thanks to Mr. William Patrick Corgan. We'll get to that at the end of the show. All right, so let's head into the GPB studios in Atlanta. First of all, Billy Corgan welcomes everyone at the beginning and says, enjoy this episode, and I'll get back to you at the end of the show. So that's what he does. So we go into the GPBs, and Joe Galli and Stu Bennett welcome us. And then Dave Marquez, and I got to be honest with you, I like Dave. He's got a good personality, but boy, his interview skills are the shits. I just realized that. Like, he blew a couple of names in this episode, and they need better. I mean, they need more Sean Mooney's and less of him and the other guy. That's my opinion. They need to find better.
I mean, I know they're trying to be, like kind of like Raw about it. Not, unintended there, but not using as the show Raw, but like, like he just announces guys, and he does the ring announcer, and he'll just be like, and from wherever, Thunder Rosa.
That's yeah. But I'm even talking about like the interviews. Like, I don't know.
And he has his own promotion too. So
yeah, he's the Hollywood promoter. He's a Cali guy. So any event. So he begins by interviewing one half of the tag team, one half of our main event tonight. And that is two members of Villain Enterprises, Marty Scurll and Brody King, and they talk a little bit about their match later this evening. What do you think of the? Do you like the Villain pinstripe jerseys? I figured that's all you right there.
Oh yeah,
they're pretty cool, right?
I tell you the truth, the nice little group, you know, like I know they're popular on Ring of Honor as well, but I like the crossover between the two companies.
I do too. Although I liked, we'll talk more about Eddie Kingston's little funny promo later in the show when he was talking about OH. But so then from there we go to a clip from our last episode of Regular Power, when Camille injected herself into the situation with Melina, Allison Kay, and our women's world champion, Thunder Rosa. More on that later on. Then we get our first shop promo, and it looks like, and I'm a little curious by this, Dr. G. Tell me what you think of this. They are going to be releasing on DVD the first 9 episodes of NWA Power. It's going to be a 2-DVD set. I think full price is $20. Right now you could pre-order it for $15. And I'm sure 90% of you are going, why the fuck would I want to buy the DVD when all the episodes are on YouTube? Something tells me that the NWA is going to start pulling the episodes of Power. Because I'll be honest, Dr. G, anybody can get YouTube. So what would motivate anybody to buy the DVDs? You know what I'm saying? So I'm wondering if they're going to start pulling older content off of the YouTube page.
I don't know.
Because why? Again, YouTube's not like the WWE Network or
New
Japan.
I think they're trying to appeal to the collectors. You know,
maybe
people like
you
yourself.
Like me? You're right. Absolutely right.
To have dust collectors, you know, sitting around.
Yeah, you're like, you're going to buy it. I know what you're thinking. He's going to fucking buy it. I don't know.
You're a salesman's dream.
I am a salesman's dream. It depends what it is, though. Like that, I don't know. But anyway, they pimped it multiple times tonight. 2-disc set. The first they said season 1, and I'm pretty sure it's the first 9 episodes of Power. So I think full price, it's going to be $20. I think it comes out June 12th. So if you pre-order it, I think it's $15. But anyway. We get a Camille vignette. Just, you know, clips of her. They've showed that vignette many times. We get a clip from the last episode of Power when Tom Latimer, her boyfriend, and he says she's going to speak. I promise you, next week she's going to speak. Well, the time is here. So we get our first match of the night. Camille, if those that didn't watch it a couple weeks ago on YouTube, here it is again. Camille, in her first official match, takes on Maddie Max. Maddie Max, jobber extraordinaire. And the match went 2 minutes and 28 seconds. Camille won with her spear. She's pretty solid. She's a crisp power worker. She hits her moves crisp. A very good debut for Camille.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, I agree, and I like the spear though.
It's pretty stiff, I have to say. Stiff. I enjoy it.
I think you're gonna see. I think it's ultimately going to be her and Thunder Rosa as, you know, the top women in the company, you know, fighting for the championship. What do you think?
Definitely. And we will have to talk about, we'll talk about that later in the show because, we have some matches set for, Crockett Cup, but some got added here, but I don't think they were put on the, like the wiki page or whatever. So solid squash. So Joe approaches Camille and says, well, your boyfriend promised. What do you got to say? She did her usual head-turning Michael Myers, Buddy Sal thing and stalked him a couple feet and then walked away and got a big boo. Well, that was just a tease because then we would get what we've long been waiting for. We get a kind of a life vignette on Camille and we hear a voice. We don't see any talking. We just hear a voice. And it's obviously Camille's. And we hear her talking about her life and her you know, time as a kid and when she played softball and how she was shunned by parents and opponents because they thought her, because no one's this talented, et cetera, et cetera. And she talks about how she hooked up with Nick Aldis professionally, not personally. And as the insurance policy, starting with that 70th anniversary show that you and I did weeks ago, right, involving Cody and what's her face? What's his wife's name? Brandy. So, and she's been there ever since. And then at the end of the show, at the end of the segment, Camille, they actually show Camille in the camera and she actually talks. You actually see her speak. And she has got some cackalacky accent, let me tell you.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
Thick. She's probably a Duke fan because she's from Durham, according to Dave. So, anyway, so Camille speaks and she's got a very thick North cackalacky accent. But that's no problem. Just pointing that out. But it was a good, it was a great piece. I think they've really built her up well. The no speaking and that kind of thing, I think, has really given her this allure and this aura. And she came out with the Strictly Business. She had her own jacket that said Camille on it. So,
I like Strictly Business.
I do too. We'll talk more about them later on because we see more of them. Then we get a commercial for somebody that you need, Dr. G. You need Austin Idol wrestling psychologist.
Oh, no doubt.
Austin fucking Idol.
Yeah, I love it.
He's awesome. We go back to the previous episode of Power a while back when Trevor Murdoch beat the question mark and then got beat up. He got attacked from behind by Shooter Stevens. And then Sean Mooney, his one look of the day, of the episode, Sean Mooney comes up to the interview table and he talks to the Rock and Roll Express about the match coming up next, which is the Rock and Roll Express taking on the team of Aaron Stevens, our national heavyweight champion, and question mark. By the way, before we go any further, why don't we recap quickly, Dr. G, our champions, because I feel like we haven't talked about like the promotion currently in a while. So obviously our world's heavyweight champion is still the national treasure, Nick Aldis. Our national heavyweight champion, as I just mentioned, Shooter Stevens, Aaron Stevens.
You know he's the third degree.
He is a third degree, Mongrovian black belt. Our world television champion is who?
Your guy.
The outlandish Zicky Dice. Yes.
Zicky Your guy.
Dice. My guy. Upset. And they have a t-shirt for him. We'll talk about that too. Zicky Dice, of course, upset Ricky Starks on the last episode of Power. Our tag team champions are still Eli Drake, James Storm. More on them later.
Yeah.
And our women's world champion, as I mentioned, still Thunder Rosa. So I just wanted to update everybody on who the champs are. So our match right now, Aaron Stevens and question mark take on the Rock and Roll Express. These guys all know how to work a crowd. So it's a lot of fun to watch. They're looking great. The crowd, let me tell you something. And this really depressed me. And we'll talk more about this at the end when we wrap up. But this was one of the first wrestling shows I've watched over the last few weeks where this pandemic has really depressed me, because this crowd was scalding hot on this night. And I mean, they were pumped for you. You could tell they were pumped for the Crockett Cup coming up, and NWA was right on the cusp. And they were this crowd in this place was red hot. And it just reminds you how much life blows right now. But
you're right. I mean, for a small, obviously the studio crowd's small, but they were really hot, and they really added some excitement to the show. I enjoyed it. You're right. It did. It depressed me too. I was like, wow. And the NWA was just getting ready to take off. I think this was going to be a very successful pay-per-view.
It was.
But you know,
and it still will be. And it still will be. And we'll get into that at the end. But it was just so depressing how hot the crowd was. Anyway, this was a fun match. I know I pick on the Rock and Roll Express, and they were never my favorite tag team on the planet. But, for two guys in their 60s, they still work pretty tough.
They do. They're pretty good workers for their age. They really are. Obviously, they're not at the same pace they were 30 years ago. I mean, nobody is. But, for their age, they really put on a good match. I was surprised that they won, though.
I was a little surprised, too. Question mark did get pinned, I think. Was it question mark? Yeah, it was. The match was 5 minutes and 13 seconds. A good little match. Trevor Murdoch comes to ringside because that was one of the other matches that had been added to the Crockett Cup, and that was Shooter Stevens, Aaron Stevens, defending the national championship against Trevor Murdoch, which was slated for the Crockett Cup. So hopefully that still is happening. Out came question mark Junior, which clearly was one of the bouncers because this guy was fucking huge. And they cut a whole gimmick that he had like no stamina and he was already gassed. And it was pretty funny.
But a
big win for the Rock and Roll Express, though. Big win. After that, we get a clip from the last episode when, as I mentioned, Zicky Dice wins the TV title from Ricky Stark. Zicky Dice cuts a quick promo, and then you can pre-order the outlandish Zicky Dice T-shirt, which is, of course, pink. The doctor will refuse to wear it, but I believe I will. And,
oh, you will. I know you will.
Oh, I definitely will. Well, because I'm comfortable with what colors I wear, unlike you, close-minded. Your wrestling shirts. They all got to be black with middle fingers and skulls. Oh, wait, never mind. Can't talk about other promotions.
That's right.
Anyway, you can pre-order a new Zicky Dice t-shirt. So, we get a vignette kind of recapping what's been going on in the women's division. And then Kyle Davis is at the interview table, and out comes Melina. Talks about her non-match with Thunder Rosa in the last episode and how she begged off and Allison Kay threw her back in the ring and everything else that happened there. Speaking of Allison Kay, she comes out jaw-jacking with Melina about how she's a coward and everything. Out comes Thunder Rosa, our women's world champion, and she's like, you know what? I've kind of had it with everybody. I'm the champ. I need nobody's help. Yada, yada, yada. You could definitely see, Dr. G, that the full babyface turn is coming. The crowd's totally into her.
Oh, yeah. And, don't doubt about it.
And she pretty much says, I'll take on anybody. In fact, I'll take on both of you for my title. So it was booked on this show at the Crockett Cup. Thunder Rosa will defend the women's world title against both Melina and Allison Kay in a triple threat match. So, and I think that's great. And Thunder Rosa is awesome. You know, I got to thank, I'm going to give her some props because I will post when I post this show on Twitter, I will tag her. You know, I got to thank for my liking of Thunder Rosa, the kid, the NWA kid. You can follow her on Twitter at KidNWA. She's what is she, 13, I think? And she's one of our good friends' daughters, and she's all pro NWA. And she did an interview on her YouTube channel with Thunder Rosa quite a while ago. I would say it was before she won the title, so I think it was right after Christmas. It was before Thunder Rosa won the title at Hard Times. And after that, I have to say, Dr. G, the kid warm. I mean, I didn't dislike Thunder Rosa. I was kind of ambivalent towards her. But now, thanks to her in that interview, I kind of warmed up to her.
You know what it is? They did smart booking with her because they had her as like a heel, but you know, in this little group, and you know, just like you know, old booking, wrestling booking. You know, some people start getting jealous because you know one person's getting a little bit more attention, and then that's the person that's going to turn face. And they did a great build for this, and she's definitely going to be, the most popular woman, if she isn't already, in the NWA. And then it's just going to build to her and Camille. That's the eventual goal, I mean, that I see anyway.
No, I think you're right. And remember, they locked eyes on the previous episode of Power. And Camille gave her glare, and Thunder Rosa kind of looked at her and like, hey, well, bitch, let me tell you something. You could glare me all you want. I got what you want. And she's I liked Thunder Rosa's kind of comeback at Camille, kind of that. Yeah, well, you could glare me all you want. I've got what you want. And that's, of course, the Women's World Championship.
Yeah, Thunder Rosa has, you know, you're starting to see some of the face tendencies, but she still has that little bit of that cockiness. You know,
she got a swagger. She got a swagger. Yep.
And, you know, she still has that tough way about her. But, you know, she's trying to show everybody, you know what, I'm the best in the world right now.
Yeah.
You have to beat me.
And, you know, we have all these women's champions. You know, you have, obviously, Asuka and Bayley. And Charlotte in WWE, you've got what's her face in AEW, Nyla Rose. I would put, I don't know who the women's champ is in Ring of Honor. I don't remember. I could always use Steve Willey here. But I would contend that I would put Thunder Rosa in that class with any of them. I really would.
I
think she's that talented.
She is very talented. You know, when you see some of these people, the people in the NWA, you wonder, wow, you know, how come they're not with, you know, one of the big companies? I mean, I'm glad they're here, but Thunder Rosa, she's definitely going to be a hot commodity once things hopefully get back to somewhat normal at this point.
Oh yeah, she'll command money.
She will, I agree. You know. But I'm, you know, I think she's getting her feet wet. I think this is a great way, and I just. Like I say every week when we talk about the NWA, when we're talking about the current NWA, I just, you know what, there's something about the old school booking. You know, we sat there, we criticized, and I get it. My favorite era wound up being the Attitude Era, and there was some real outlandish stuff. And when you watch some of it back now, I'm like, wow, I really enjoyed it. But I think it was just because we were so into the big guys like Stone Cold and Rock and all that stuff. So I think it overshadowed some of the shitty stuff that was on the program. But I just, in the end, that's why right now the nostalgia is so big. There's just something about just the simple booking. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. You know, good guy versus bad guy, you know, psychology, building up to a match. It doesn't, you know, we don't have to have every, you know, with them being a YouTube company, they don't have to every week put on like these gigantic main events that you know, years ago when you only had like the big four pay-per-views in the WWF, you know, you would build it for 2-3 months or 4 months. You could do that in the NWA. I mean, I think people's attention span is still a little, I mean, you're probably not going to have it that long, but you don't have to do it every week where then you get bored of, okay, are we going to see Thunder Rosa against Camille every week now? Hopefully not. The whole key is to building the storyline towards the eventual meeting between the two.
Correct.
And then usually you have, you know, two or three big matches, or you have the blow-off match where sometimes, you know, for the men, it's usually like a cage match or, you know, something like that. I don't know how the NWA is going to do all that going forward. But I just love the old school psychology that we're seeing. And again, it's nothing. We're not reinventing the wheel here. There's nothing wrong with rehashing just in a different way with new people and, you know, adding a twist to it, rehashing old storylines from the past. There's nothing wrong with that. We see that in movies. We see that in TV all the time.
Yep. Absolutely. You just got to tweak it based on, you know, what your landscape is. No, I agree with you 100%.
I mean, I think people really, you know, I think we just try to overthink things because yes, I know we have a totally different way of thinking these days because of social media, and people are just have no patience for anything. It's just, you know, everybody's got an opinion about something. But what I love about the NWA, I don't think they care. It's not that they care about their fans, which they do, but they're just booking this thing what they know and what they think is going to work for them. And I really don't hear that much negativity about it when I look on social media. I think people are enjoying it. Now, I'm not as big on social media for the wrestling as maybe you are, but I don't see the negativity that I see with the bigger companies. Do you?
Right. No, not at all. No. I think they feel NWA kind of flies under the radar for the moment, but they're much more character-based than they are wrestling-based. But I think that's going to change. I think that's going to change as we move forward. But the women's division definitely got off to a slow start here in the NWA, kind of like it got off to a slow start in AEW, and they're getting a little bit better here and there, but
no, it is. They're getting some better players. And, you know, I think we're seeing with the NWA is they are trying to build the characters because some of these wrestlers have been in other companies. So yeah, you know, obviously the wrestling fan today is very smart. But you still have to, you know, there's a segment of your audience that doesn't know who these guys are. So you have to kind of build up their, for lack of a better word, their character. So this way everybody knows who they are. And I think they are trying to, I know that sometimes there's blur lines in wrestling today, but I think they are trying to say, okay, this is the heel, this is the face. And I think for the most part, it works pretty well. I think people respect, like we enjoy watching Nick Aldis and his group, but you see they do get the booze. And
sure.
you know, then you have, you know, the other, you know, the guys that, you know, whoever they're wrestling gets cheered. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're still going to have that little segment that, you know, somebody's going to be rooting for them. But I like that. It's just something I've been looking for many years. I'm enjoying it. I hope everybody else is enjoying it. I hope people are enjoying what we're putting out there, because mm-hmm. I think that you still have a segment of the population that of wrestling population that really likes the old school way, you know, and likes again. And I always say it's old school way with a new school twist, you know, because mm-hmm. listen, I'm not saying I want wrestling to be the way it was, everything to be like it was in the '70s and eighties. There's some good parts about it. And there's some crappy parts about it, but I like the booking. And like I said, I don't know who's doing it behind, you know, backstage, but whoever it is, they're doing a good job.
I think they're doing a good job as well. Yeah, definitely this women's division. They've really booked Thunder Rosa strong. Allison Kay is like a grizzled veteran. She's held the belt for quite a while now.
Right.
And so anyway, we'll continue monitoring the women's division and now the triple threat is set for the Crockett Cup between Thunder Rosa, Melina, and Allison Kay for
would
the
have been a good match.
World title. It would have been a good match. And it still is. We have to take into account the Crockett Cup didn't get canceled. Right. We just, you know, unfortunately, it was supposed to be April 19th. And it wasn't, and I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. We'll see. So we get another great commercial for a fantastic business I highly recommend supporting, Tony Fawkes Waffles and Tire Irons. Eat three. Apparently, if you buy three gluten-free waffles, you get four free tire irons. That's a hell of a deal.
What a deal.
We get a vignette. Yeah, what do you think, right? Do you need some tire irons?
Great advertisements here on the...
Yes, the NWA Power. Channel. That's where they get their sponsorship from. Yep. Tire irons and wrestling psychologists. We get a vignette on Tim Storm and what's been going on with him. And then that brings us to our next match. Now, this match I thought was going to be at the Crockett Cup, but instead they do it here, which I find interesting. Tim Storm takes on Jax Dane in a no disqualification match. Of course, this goes back to Danny Deals breaking his balls, pretending to be Mama Storm, and then saying that he stabbed Jax Dane in the back. Of course, Jax Dane is a former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, and who lost the title to Tim Storm just as Billy Corgan bought the NWA in 2017. And, of course, they used that as a backstory. So I really did think
surprised.
This would be a Crockett Cup match and not here. But
if I had to be any kind of critical of the booking a little bit, I thought they rushed this a little too much. I think they could have built this a little bit
more. Yeah, I agree. I don't think you needed to have this match here. Having said that, it was pretty entertaining. They brawled in through the crowd, and they fought and they smacked each other with stuff. I think Storm tried to throw Jax Dane into the Crockett Cup with his head and everything. And
it was a pretty stiff match. It was very stiff.
I thought this
would have been great on the Crockett Cup. I mean, I thought the match was pretty good. What do you think about Tim Storm? As I was watching this, I was like, oh, you know, I want to ask Scott about this on the show because. He's kind of like one of those old school baby faces. Like you just want to root for him. He doesn't have the most charismatic personality or anything like that. He's just a good old guy. Like I can't see him being a heel.
I can't either. Yeah, I can't either. Let me finish the match and then I'll answer that question.
Okay.
So Jax Dane misses a move and goes into a steel chair that he had placed between two turnbuckles. Tim Storm hits the perfect Storm finisher and wins the match. Your match time was 8.5 minutes. And with him winning, he gets 5 minutes in the ring with Danny Deals. That kind of went on a little too long, but eventually Storm hits a couple of perfect Storms and we're out. Here's my positives and negatives. I'm glad you asked me this because I was going to talk about this tonight anyway. So I'm glad you asked me. I like his character. I like his personality. He is very friendly. He's the kind of guy that NWA would like at fan fests and stuff, signing autographs, taking pictures with kids and that kind of thing. So the charisma of a baby face does not bother me. I think I'm actually good with it. My drawbacks are he wrestles way too slow. And I don't mean he's like Scott Steiner sluggish. What I mean is I feel like his moves are too framed. He stands, I think he stands in front of a move longer than he should. And I feel like he doesn't execute something. Like the Danny Deals thing, I felt like went on like 3 minutes too long. And the whole like trying to be like very old schoolish where you shake his hand and la la la, and then you hit a couple finishers. It felt very Saturday night's main event-ish.
Yeah.
I feel like that Tim Storm should have beat the shit out of him, and he didn't. He hit a couple of moves, and that was it. So I was expecting a little more viciousness out of Tim Storm here to punish this putz.
Yeah.
Mimicking his. Having said that, though, that's probably not Tim Storm's makeup, so it probably wouldn't have made no sense. So I will say that Tim Storm is a very old-school 70s, 80s babyface. You know, like an Andre or, you know,
I wouldn't even say
Hulk Hogan, like a Ricky Steamboat. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say Hogan because he's not that effervescent. But
I
think that
could
be for him
and
against
him. He's not horrendous.
No.
But for a guy that's been in the business for a long time now, granted, I know he doesn't really do it full time. I think that's why he's not with a major company. I think you're right. I think his moves sometimes are a little too calculating. And, I don't see him leading a match. He just doesn't give me that.
No, you're right. You know? I agree with you on that. Nope, I agree with you 1,000% on that.
Yep. Again, I'm not saying he's good enough where he'll give you a pretty decent match, and depending on who's in the ring with. I mean, he's had some decent matches with Nick Aldis. You know, if he's in there with somebody that's, you know, a top-notch guy, he'll give you a good match. But
right.
I agree with you. As I was watching, that's why I wanted to ask you. I did notice sometimes it was just like he was a little too calculating. I agree with you on the whole thing with the Danny Deals. Just went on a little too far. And you're right. I was kind of waiting for him to get a little vicious. So, but I think that's what they're trying to make his character, that he's just a good old boy, you know, Mama Storm, you know, Mama Storm's baby boy, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's just part of the gimmick.
I agree.
And that's probably why. But I thought because of them playing off the Mama Storm thing that he would show a vicious side to him.
Right.
And again, this was something I thought that was going to go on a little longer. I was surprised they kind of really ended it right here and then. I thought that they would draw that out. But again, I'm not trying to be one of those, you know, guys on Twitter to be bashing everything. But, you know, listen, you got to be fair, too. Not everything that the NWA is going to do is going to be perfect.
Right.
Nothing's perfect. If I had any criticism, I would probably say it was booking this match too fast, and the end of this match, you know, or you know, the post match with Danny Deals was just a little too long.
Yeah, just a little too long. Yeah, but Tim Storm gets the win. Jack Stain just walks off. I don't know. I just really thought that this was going to be because I think with the two of them, two big powerhouses, this would have been a great pay per view match that could have gone on maybe 15, 16 minutes. But for a TV match, 8.5 is fine, but I feel like they wasted a chance to make this a good pay-per-view match. Anyway, we move on, and Mae Valentine does her next diary, and she's very upset, very upset. She was another one that was interviewed by the kid, the NWA kid. You can check that out on her YouTube.
What do you think about the Mae Valentine thing? I didn't really care for it. I didn't care for the,
She's all right. Maybe it's to attract the females. I don't know.
I don't know, but I mean, I don't. She just didn't seem comfortable to me. She seemed very scripted and very.
Yeah, did seem very scripted. She was very upset about the whole situation with her boyfriend Royce Isaac, and Sal Ronaldo. And the last
I mean,
time
unless
we saw
that's where they're trying to go with it, make her seem like she's trying to care about the whole thing. And I think in the end, she's going to wind up turning on Sal. But that's my opinion. So maybe that's why. I don't know. It
did seem a little forced, but you know what?
Yeah,
I think it's a segment for the ladies, and you know, that's fine. I mean, you gotta try something for everybody. So
you know, she lost 100 followers. You know,
she did. She was devastated. 100 followers. Something makes me think that's kind of a heelish thing. 100 followers. You know what I mean? So we'll see where that goes. Sticking with the ladies, our next match. Is a triple threat match, and it's between three of the kind of mid-level contenders, Marty Bell, Tasha Steelz, and Ashley Vox. Little sloppy at times. Particularly Ashley Vock. She blew a couple of spots.
And we've
Tasha Steeles gets the win. What's that?
We've said that about her. Marty Bell, she has some potential.
I think so. I think she's got some charisma. I think Tasha Steeles has some pretty good charisma, too.
I could see both of them advancing in the women's division going forward.
I agree. Ashley they definitely Vox, need to bring some more women in.
Yeah, Ashley Vox, I'm not that impressed with.
Yeah, I wasn't really impressed with her either. But Tasha Steeles and Marty Bell, I think, are two that can definitely advance if they can kind of boost this women's division a little bit. The match is 4 minutes and 47 seconds. Tasha Steeles gets the victory. So we get a little triple threat match action there. We get a recap of the situation involving your boy Eddie Kingston and the Pope. And then for me, the highlight of the entire show, Dave interviews Eddie Kingston and our world tag team champions, the Cowboy James Storm and Eli Drake. Eddie was very emotional. He was telling, you know, don't interrupt me. Like, he was almost very serious. Like, look, man, don't disrespect me. I'm trying to get my thoughts. I got a lot going on. Homicide's still in the hospital. And it was actually, I'll tell you something, that guy's got some pathos, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And cut the great promo about the Pope and no one's going to disrespect me and yada, yada. You know,
New York attitude,
I will not mention other promotions. I promise not to mention other promotions. I thought that was very funny. I'm like, wow, Eddie, you don't have to go that far. But James Storm guzzling a beer, cuts a promo. Cuts his own promo, and then, you know, Eli cuts his, saying, we take on all comers. Eddie's our boy. We've gone through the wars with him. He says Ring of Honor like 12 times. I don't know how comfortable anybody was with that, but I think the highlight of the interview was at the end when Eli says, sorry about your damn luck. And then James Storm looks at him. He looks at his beer. He looks at him. He looks at his beer. He goes, yeah. And then they walk off. That was awesome. I will put Eli Drake and James Storm up against any of the other tag team champions in any of the other promotions.
No doubt.
Their charisma, their in-ring ability, they're funny. They got a good yin and a yang. Yeah, I like both these guys a lot. I put them up against any tag team champion.
What about the Pope? I mean, how did he not make it in WWE? I mean,
he was pigeonholed as Elijah Burke in the whole new ECW, new breed storyline. He didn't get a chance to really spread his wings. He really came into his own when he was in TNA, when he was D'Angelo Di Nero, and he didn't really get to spread his wings. Remember, Elijah Burke, kind of like Taka with Sasuke and Sasuke in 1997. You remember, Elijah Burke came in as the manager for one Sylvester Turkai. You don't even remember that guy, do you?
No, I remember, in
2006 in WWF. So, you know, Vince thought he was just, you know, the guy that brings in the guys. And he didn't get that chance to shine in the WWF.
I mean, he's really good on the stick.
He's great on the stick. But I think he needed, and I think that's why there's no problem with people leaving and coming back. I think he needed to leave WWE, and he shined in TNA, and now here he is. Everybody else has lost the NWA's game.
It's proving, and I know that WWE is starting to get a little bit away from it, from what I hear. The scripting of the promos just does not work. You got to let these guys be themselves.
Right.
And, you know, give the bullet points and let them go do their thing, because you could tell, like, I mean, for the most part, everybody that goes out there in WA, they're pretty comfortable when they get out there. They're saying what they feel. You know, I criticized a little bit the Mae Valentine thing, you know, like that. I thought, you know, that was for sort of a tape segment. I didn't think she was that great in that. But for the most part, I think everybody does a pretty good job when they get out there on the stick, because
I agree.
I think they're not feeling like they're pressured that they have to remember a line. They're just going. I mean, look at that promo with Eli Drake and James Storm and Eddie Kingston. I mean, you could tell that they were, you know, they had bullet points they wanted to cover, but they kind of just shot from the hip. I mean,
they really did.
I'd be surprised if the whole thing with James Storm and Eli Drake doing each other's, I mean, they may have talked about it, but I think they kind of did that naturally.
I think they did too.
And
no, I agree 100%.
I just love when you see the guys feeling comfortable out there. It makes you feel like, you know, it makes you believe in them. You know, we all know that everything, you know, that it's entertainment and it's scripted, but when you could get mesmerized by it and really get into the storylines and into the guys, like, I mean, Eddie Kingston just had a raw emotion, you know, that New York,
yep,
you know, attitude, like, you know, chip on his shoulder. I'm pissed off at the world right now. Give me a minute. I'll respect you, but you got to respect me, kind of thing. I loved it. What was probably one of my favorite parts of the show.
It was my favorite part of the show. We then come up to our main event, the last match of the night. Pushing the main event stuff. We have Villain Enterprises, our team that we saw earlier, Monty Skull and Brody King, taking on our NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, the National Treasure, Nick Aldis, and Tom Latimer. Fun little match, power match, banging, pushing around. Royce Isaacs comes out to try to interfere, and Marty takes care of him. But in the end, Latimer low blows Brody King. Aldis hits an elbow off the top rope and gets the pin, and Strictly Business gets the victory.
Strictly Business reminds me of the Horsemen. They really do.
Yeah. No, I agree. Your match time, 9:45. It was a really fun match to end the show. And it makes me think that, you know how I am about traditional kayfabe. You know, heels on top on the go-home show makes me think that maybe, and I'm wondering if this is still the case, that Marty Skrull is meant to win the match at Crockett Cup and be the new World's Heavyweight Champion. Time will tell there. Now, technically, there were still only two matches booked on, according to Wikipedia, on the Crockett Cup, and that's the title match and the national title match. Now, apparently there's only four tag teams picked set right now. The Mexa Squad, Flamita and Ray Horace, Rock and Roll Express, the other Villain Enterprises, Brody King and the other guy, Flip Gordon, and the Wild Cards, Latimer and Isaacs. No mention of our World Tag Team Champions, James Storm and Eli Drake, although Eli did kind of allude to it in the promo, so they haven't beefed that up. But, of course, you can now officially add, although Wiki hasn't yet, you can add the triple threat match for the women's world title between Thunder Rosa, Melina, and Allison Kay. Before we get to the announcement by William Corgan, your overall thoughts on this superpower? I thought this was a great show. I don't think they should do a 90-minute show all the time. I think they should stick when they get back to normal. I think power should remain. It's, you know, between 45 and 55.
I think that's why they call it superpower. I think you're going to see
right.
those.
I don't think they should do this all the time.
Pay-per-view.
Right. The match, the show as a whole is about an hour and 33 minutes. But it was a lot of fun. It felt like a clash. It was, you know, it's kind of an equivalent of like a Clash of the Champions or a Saturday Night's Main Event kind of thing. You know, big show, kind of a mid-level big show leading up to a bigger show. I think my MVP is Aldis and Latimer because they're just such good fucking heels. My non-MVP was Ashley Fox. That women's match was a little wonky at times.
I agree with you there. So for right now we're tied.
That's really all the awards I could think of. MVP.
I love the interview with Kingston.
Oh yeah, Eddie and yep, that was probably my favorite interview of the
Eli
Drake of the episode. And I did also like Thunder Rosa's independence, if you will, in her promo as well. So great episode of Superpower. This would have been really great if it aired originally when it was supposed to air, which was in mid to late March.
Not enough of Shooter Stevens, though. I enjoy him too.
Well, he's a great champion. I have a feeling he was going to. I have a feeling he's going to retain the title against Trevor Murdoch. I have a feeling he's going to. He'll put over a young guy in that spot to become national champion. So we'll see. All right. So we go back to before we wrap it up. We go back to William Corgan at his home in Chicago. And he announces that next week, this coming week, at 6:05 in their live Tuesday slot on YouTube, because they can't do any more powers, and they're obviously not doing the Crockett Cup yet, they are starting a new show. Now, I don't know if this is a one-time thing or if this is a new weekly show, but they're doing a program this coming Tuesday entitled, or titled, there's something entitled, titled Carnyland. I'm going to let that hang in the air for a minute. Carnyland. Don't you and I live in Carnyland? I feel like my work life is Carnyland.
Yeah, sure.
The nights are Carnyland sometimes.
I'm trying to figure it out, because he mentioned that things were very successful, the 10 pounds of gold series and stuff like that. Or is it going to be like compilations of video? I mean, but the Carnyland name is what has me. And obviously, you know, years ago, wrestling was called like, you know, Carny. It was kind of like
Carny.
That was more of a negative term back then. But, you know, obviously we always play on words these days. I don't know. I can't even really guess, which I kind of like. I like that I can't figure it out, because it's going to have me surprised.
It is. Week. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, I should probably go a little more on social media and see what people are guessing for it. I don't know if you've heard anything out there in your.
I've heard nothing. No, I think I'm going to probe social media myself and hop on Twitter and see if.
You're the Podfather.
I am the Podfather.
The PTV Podfather.
I'm the PTB pod father.
Yeah,
Nate Milton is the godfather. I am the pod father. There's two. Two
so,
and you're the doctor. I mean, so we all have Nate.
I don't know.
And then JT. And then JR is just the guy. He's the guy.
The pod guy.
I'm the pod father. Nate Milton's the godfather. You're the doctor. And JR's the guy. He's just the guy. JT, the pod guy. My PIC. By the way, speaking of him, we have a new, just looking ahead, doing some plugs, new episode of the Place B podcast will be coming up this coming week. We'll be doing Survivor Series Showdown 90, leading forward to the Survivor Series. And we have a brand new guest joining us this week, so check that out as well. We'll have a new main event this week. Over on the pop feed, the doctor, and this isn't the first time, it's actually one of the few times that this is the second time in a week that doctor and I have recorded earlier this week, and it's already been posted. We did the Year in Pop 1982 with you and me, of course, Andy Atherton and Mr. D'Amato. So check that out as well. Of course, check out the Jenny Position, the No-So, all the great pod feeds all over the place. Check the doctor on Twitter at KFC14360 and check me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. Join us next week for the NWA Saturday special when we will talk Carnyland, whatever the hell that is. And if we feel like we've, you know, the show doesn't go too long after that, maybe we'll do my scheduled NWA classic picks matches to talk about. If it doesn't go too long, if we get to a good combo on Carnyland, we'll stick with that. But yeah, if we have a little time and, you know, the show's running a little short and we got some time to burn,
I'm excited. I can't wait.
I have no idea. I love the unknown.
Yeah, you know? Me too. It was like back in the Attitude Era when I'm like, what's Stone Cold and Vince McMahon going to do next week? You know, and you couldn't wait for Raw the next week. Well, that's how I feel about this. I'm excited to see what this is all about. And
yeah.
You know what? We're so yearning for something to watch that I'm sure no matter what it is, we'll probably enjoy it at this point.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, we did get something like the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania. And I guarantee you something's going to happen at Double or Nothing with, you know, Jericho and Matt Hardy or whatever. Something's going to happen there, some cinematic thing. So that seems to be the trend right now. So we'll see. It'll be very interesting. So that'll be next week's show. The Doctor and I will talk Carnyland, whatever that's going to be. Hope everyone enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you next week. Stay safe. Wear your mask. 6 feet, yada, yada. I'm probably sick of hearing it, but we might as well keep doing it. I'm Scott. He's the doctor. You're not.
Ciao.